Hello and welcome to the Paddock Podcast. We're slightly late. I apologise for that. We've had some difficulties with other podcasts and overrunning and all sorts of that sort of stuff. But we're here now and that's all that matters. We're going to do a little Q&A today, aren't we? Stephen, Alex, how's it going, lads?
Smashing.
Oh, yeah.
Q&A.
Good day, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a good day.
What's your favourite part of the Q&A?
Oh, the Q. Yeah. I like the Q. The A's all right, but the Q's where it really...
The A's all right.
That's where it does the digging, isn't it? The Q's what, you know, it makes it really. You can't have the A without the Q. Good then, Alex. You're looking at the tweets. If you haven't commented on Twitter.
We'll come to the YouTube ones
slightly in a little bit.
First question: what do you think is the best position of Bruno?
Midfield.
What on football?
Just midfield football.
When he plays football, midfield. I mean, I haven't seen him as a linebacker.
Yeah, but it could be. They could be good there though.
Yeah.
I think he might be decent
right back.
We were saying this earlier. Do you think we may have signed a number eight in a system that doesn't use number eights?
Yeah.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing or maybe neither?
No.
I don't know. Sometimes a player's good and he's available and he wants to come and you get him.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
I think he's going to fit both systems when he has other players around him. Like that three isn't going to be very rigid.
Are we looking at a jigsaw puzzle half built and going...
That doesn't fit there.
Is that a fucking pineapple?
Give it a second. Let it build.
Players around him, he could play 10 or 6? Or do you think we'll change the system and play with a number eight?
I hope we change the system because I always prefer midfield three, but,
Yeah. So, right, here's a question because, I mean, I do know the difference, but in your terms then, so, like, when you say midfield three, we currently play with two holding midfielders and a number 10. How functionally is that different to a 4-3-3 midfield?
Well, you can have a 4-3-3 midfield where you've got two sixes and an eight or a 10 and technically no difference.
Yeah.
The traditional midfield three is going to be one destroyer, some sort of a number six, which you can still have when you play two sixes. Typically, when you see two sixes played, you'll see probably one a bit more defensive, one a bit more combative. But there's like every possible combination. You can play two deep line playmakers, two Carricks, if you like. You don't necessarily have to have a Keane.
Carrick and Scholes.
Well, you had then when Chelsea, when was it Mourinho that won the league? And then, no, it was when he had Matic and Kante in there.
Yeah. Two destroyers.
But that meant that your front four can do what the fuck they want.
Fabregas who
and anything. Your fullbacks can go forward more. Whereas the one that kind of sits in, that's you want your centre arse moving up further. Your two never cover your fullbacks at all. They're more pushing up. Your wingers maybe do more work in that system.
So you just think it allows a bit more forward sort of creativity having two number eights than it does having an outright 10 and then two number sixes.
I think. I like to see football played facing forward, and I think number 10s generally play facing backward or occupy the space facing backward, and I would like to see two numbers. I like the way City's midfield works, if you like, and I would go with two slightly more creative players and then one who sits and is extremely disciplined.
Do you think we have anyone like that in the club at the moment?
To do the six role?
Yeah.
No.
No, I don't either. That's a problem, isn't it?
The thing is, if you put, say, McTominay in there, or even Fred right now, and then you play, let's say... players we've got now. So you put Fred or McTominay there and you've got Bruno and Pogba, the ones that are the 2-8s ahead of them. You saw straight away where that collection off the back four. So that's where the big thing is, or off the keeper. When your centre-half split, he passes in. When you tried Fred there last season and how many goals we conceded when he was that six.
Yeah.
That's why he's playing with two right now, is that Bruno can be that one that drops in and gets the ball.
Even
two's
not enough, like City pressers with the two.
Yeah, exactly. So
Phil Jones couldn't.
But by having Bruno there, it's so much better. And I've said there's been a lot of what Ollie's done where he's done it all through the teams now and all through the under 18s. Everything plays the same way. I went to the 18s game last night. The two lads that played the number six, number eight last night, like Max Helm. The amount of times he got the ball off the goalkeeper or centre half, and literally one touch has fizzed it out to the fullback straight away.
Yeah.
And you're like, Fred or McTominay can't do that. And
I wonder if McTominay could do that sitting role when he's got two players that close to him, because I don't think he's got an expansive passing range. But I do think if he had a Pogba coming short to him and a Bruno coming short to him, McTominay's going to look decent on the ball.
Yeah. Of course it is, but it's one of them at the minute.
And then
he's not a one. He's not that. He can't be that one that sits in
physically
there.
He can. Physically he can.
But on the ball.
And maybe that's why you play your midfield three, because Pogba and Bruno are allowed to come back, whereas on number 10, you're like, well, come on, mate. That's why you have two of them.
And also, with talking about on the ball, that's one sort of people talk about maybe playing Wan-Bissaka in that number six role. I think off the ball, fantastic. He could be like a world-class number six, but on the ball, just don't have the passing and the vision and the awareness. And
no, and you see, if you
we don't know that he does.
Oh, well, they're just not going to just play this dead loud. But I think off the ball, what a destroyer. What a like search and destroy that would be just in front of the back four. But then the same problem you just come up with there, how do you get the ball through the lines when he's there like that?
Yeah.
Well, that's it. When you saw him, Bruno dropped into that, the sixth position everyone talks about, that he played the weekend, and they're saying he played defensively. And everyone says he didn't have as good a game. I said, no, he didn't have as many shots. That's a different thing to have as good a game.
Played good.
What he did when he dropped in there was he got on the ball.
And he lost the ball
10
a lot
times
less.
More.
Yeah.
Wolves didn't dominate because they couldn't press because there was someone there that United could pass to that they knew that if they did press, we could beat that press.
Yeah.
When Bruno was there...
Have you ever heard of a fella called Perlo?
Yeah, exactly. Remember Paul Scholes? Like,
yeah. He wasn't a defensive midfielder, but he would sit in that number six quarterback-style position. And he, you know, there was that ball over the top for Mason right at the end of the game.
Yeah, it's just...
Like, that's a threat now.
Yeah, exactly.
And that makes space.
And the thing is, the problem we're always going to have is, we don't, like we were saying before, we don't have two Bruno Fernandeses. So either you lose that kind of... number 10 threat where he's going to be taking more shots on target, that kind of thing. Or you lose that someone who actually has a bit of space who can pick out a pass, picking out passes. You can't have both. So he's going to get criticised for playing too far forward and losing the ball a lot because he's right on the defence. Or he's going to get criticised for being wasted sitting deep. We actually need more midfielders is the answer.
That's the answer. Yeah. Do you want to go for that one or that one?
Go Oliver.
Oliver.
Yeah.
Best. Oh, no, do pre-season.
Okay. Any news on India pre-season?
You'd have a good opinion on that last one.
Yeah, I would, but do you know what? We've got other shows we can talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
The best chippy or pizza place in Manchester?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Right, so the question that we are going to go is Sanats, which is any news on India pre-season tour? Now, I clocked this a while ago. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Now, all the Saudi Arabia stuff, they sort of came out in the press and no one really picked up on it, but I did. And I was looking at it and I was like, I wonder what the crack is here. Because someone reported it in India and it didn't go national anywhere. And they said, like, there's going to be a United pre-season here. Now, that come out again last week. There's nothing from the club official on this. And I was like, I wonder if all that Saudi Arabia stuff, because it was exactly the same time frame and exactly the same people involved. I wonder if we're going to do a pre-season in Saudi Arabia and India. Because India's such a difficult place to get to. I mean, it's not, you fly. But you know what I mean? It's like, in terms of geographically, it's like... You're not going to do one game in India and then bounce, I don't think. You're going to spend time in a region, maybe. And I think Dubai to that India makes a lot more sense. Or, you know, Saudi Arabia to India makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's supposedly a bit of an open secret that New York is a place. But again, nothing official.
Yeah. And again, like I said, you're not going to be in America. You're not going to do one game India, one game America. It's probably going to be two or three in both, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like we saw with Singapore.
Unless it's we do something Australian like what? Sit in Liverpool did last year and play that one-off game at the end of the season.
Well, we did that in Norway, didn't we? Yeah, so we might see something like
you
that.
You might see that could be India. The India game could be.
Well, I think playing Norway and Cardiff was that.
It could be.
But what I'm saying is it could be Singapore
and China.
No, but City Liverpool played one in May, like a week after
Where
Premier
was
League.
It?
That's not happening this year with the Euros.
You don't?
Nah,
think
that's a good point. Nah. We could do. I reckon we're more likely to sit toward the end. I think New York is one of the easiest sort of transatlantic flights you can take. It's like 6 hours. It's not difficult. Like, India's a bit difficult. You're probably going to stop in Dubai. I wouldn't have thought that'd be toward the start of pre-season, you would think.
If I had to stab a guess now at what United are going to do, here's what I'm going to say. I think we go to New York.
Yes.
And we start our training camp in New York.
Okay.
And I think we do two games, either one in New York. Maybe we base ourselves in New York. And we either do New York and Philly, or New York and like the Big House maybe, or something like maybe Chicago. Somewhere like, you know, a bit of a hop away, still there, hubbed in New York for a little bit. And then
Boston somewhere.
Yeah, Boston's a possibility, isn't it? And then maybe jib down to Miami to go and open Beckham's thingy for him, because Adidas would love that.
Yeah.
And then jib over to Saudi Arabia, do one friendly there, do one in India, come home.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that would be a fucking belting.
Yeah, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it? That'd be so fun.
Just announce it so I can book it.
I know.
Yeah, so we can get going.
I'll start working on the wife.
Zach's put...
And on that note, I'm out. It's in a bit.
Yeah, Stephen's got to go, unfortunately. Why are you going to go against it?
Because I have to finish at 5, it's already 11 minutes
past. Yes, finish at 5, it's already 11 minutes past. So we've been lucky. We're very lucky to have him as long as we have.
We're going
to
shuffle.
Can you put that middle mic down, Steve?
Yeah, middle mic.
Middle management.
We're shuffling.
We
look at this.
It's just
unbelievable scenes.
The two you really like, anyway.
Yeah, forget him, yeah. Zachary Purvis, love the positivity of your channel compared to other channels. Keep it up, lads. Would love more youth reviews, though. I'm still talking. We're lifting. We're doing all sorts.
Sorry, the mic was caught. It was going to get pulled out. Sorry, what was that?
Would love more youth reviews, though.
Yeah, we can do more youth reviews.
We're going to be doing. We're looking at trying.
Yeah,
to
we're going
to
be getting Dave in a bit more often as well. Maybe once every couple of weeks, just to keep on, right on top of the youth review.
I think
yeah,
we might be going to a few more games. I think.
Yeah,
I think we might.
It's gone down well. The youth review. See you later, Dave.
Yeah. See ya.
Yeah, it's gone down pretty well. The youth review, yeah. And it's always a good chat with Dave because he's so very well informed.
So very well informed.
It's good to speak to people. Who actually, I know he, you know, he doesn't market himself as this sort of youth guru by any means, but just that he's, you know, he genuinely has got this long-standing experience with a sort of, you know, let's say more sort of fringe aspect of United.
Yeah, which is good.
Always a good, interesting chat. Oliver Edwards, then, we said before, best chippy or pizza place in Manchester? What do you think?
I don't know, actually. What's your pizza,
if you're going for like the out-and-out sort of Mamma Mia experience, I would say Rudy's.
Okay. I don't know Manchester. In the centre of Manchester well enough. Food.
Yeah.
I don't
it's that Neapolitan food. Style kind of sloppy in the middle. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's nice. But then, you know...
That one's very practical.
Yeah.
We've got some new lights, by the way.
You've got some lights. You just need to shut the shutter across a little bit on the left-hand side.
And then you've got a shadow on your...
Ah. Okay.
So is that one, I think?
I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But in terms of chippy... I would honestly say I'm disappointed by the range of chip shops in Manchester.
It depends what you want in a chippy, really.
I want crispy chips, light, airy, light, moist fish, and a nice crispy batter.
Because a lot of my chippy experiences is more like the 4 o'clock in the morning kind of chippy experience, where you just want sweat, grease, and
blood
a bit
sweat.
Of,
yeah.
Bit of loads of garlic sauce on a kebab kind of thing. That's
yeah,
the kind
but
of
I mean,
you're
if,
looking
you,
for.
If you're looking at fish and chips,
but you're looking at a proper fish and chips, it's a very different story. And I've not had enough of them.
There aren't enough. I honestly think the best chip shops in the country are in small towns.
Yeah, I've been to the ones in Scotland. I've been to.
Yeah, incredible.
Just like
there's a few good ones in some seaside towns have good ones, but most don't. Most seaside towns aren't that good at fish and chips. There's some Cornwall's got some great ones. Whitby's got some good ones. There's a good one in Cleethorpes as well.
I went to the best one in Scotland. There's one in It's called Anstruther the Fish and Chip Shop. Mm. That is
amazing.
Near St Andrews. So I go and play golf there, and it's just like
perfection.
It's mega
great fish and chips.
Next one next is up. Messi. If Messi joined United on a free, what would his wages be? £500,000
yeah,
a week
probably
minimum.
Probably more than that.
Because you're not. Because the thing is, if Messi got to the point where he went. Yeah, fancy that. And then Woodward went, okay, we'll do it. Adidas would go, okay, we'll match that. Because, I mean, the Adidas thing with Messi and United would just be ridiculous.
It'd be crazy.
They'd probably double
it?
His wages for it. Because
yeah.
They could do everything
yeah.
for him then. Because the problem is, it's weird. Like, Ronaldo at Juve, which is an Adidas kit, and Messi at Barcelona, it's a Nike kit. Doesn't make as much sense with... You look at Ronaldo when he was at United. He probably did more marketing stuff for Nike then. Mm. Because he had a night tick on his chest every week and they could do every advert they ever wanted with him in a United shirt doing that. I think they'd make
ridiculous.
It ridiculous. I think there'd be
probably
so many add-ons.
Probably 700 grand, I'd have thought.
Would be
by the end
scary,
of it.
Scary.
Yeah. There you go.
We're going next up. What five players would you sell and what five players would you buy but could only have a 500 million net spend?
We'll be a bit loose with that because we ain't got time to be sitting here doing maths. Five players would you sell and what five players would you buy? You do the buys, I'll do the sells.
Okay, buys, I'd go... So we're going.
And I'll do like one for one.
Grealish is 50 million.
Okay, and then we're going to sell Phil Jones for 12 million.
Can't have done well there.
I don't think that's ridiculous.
No,
12
it's not
million.
Ridiculous.
Actually, no. Yeah, sell Phil Jones for 12.
Then
so that's 38.
We're going to sign... who's the lad from Watford? I'm going to sign Decore.
Decore?
From Watford.
How much do you think? 35?
25, I reckon. 25. Do a good deal on that one.
And we'll sell, in replacement of him, we're going to sell Luke Shaw for 15 million.
Okay, I like that. Then, see, this is hard because as soon as I can't say Jadon Sancho. Because,
yeah, you can.
All right, I'll say Jadon Sancho.
How much? 110?
110, yeah.
Sell Pogba for 110. So that equals that back out.
Okay,
so
we're still
spent 50 million.
Spent 50 million. So I've got two
transfers and a 50 million net.
50 million net.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to get Ighalo because he's going to have scored 400 goals.
How much
do
you think? 5 million?
5, 10 million, yeah.
All right, and I'll sell... who will I sell? Cameron Borthwick-Jackson, £500,000.
Okay, and then I'm going to get Because we now
we got any first team players to sell.
We now need a left back, so I'm going to go for who was that lad from Roma? Was it Roma?
Benfica.
Grimaldi. Him. 45 million.
$45 million.
Now bang on 100 million.
Yeah, and worked on
smashed
else.
It. There you go.
Five in, four out.
It's
wonderful.
Really difficult that though, because yeah, like 100 million's to get rid of five players is hard. Because yeah. United don't have five players no. just to get rid
we
of.
We need
that's,
to be buying and not selling.
That's the thing with United is we've got everyone talks about net spend of all these clubs and stuff. We don't have enough players just to get rid of for 20 million, 30 million recoup stuff. And that's what like everyone talks about Pochettino. He had like players like Soldado. Mm. He had that. He sold three of the players that they got in when they spent Bale's money for like 20 million quid each, which kind of got 60 million back, which isn't a crazy amount, but it just made it just a lot easier for him to sign things.
Yeah. Similar vein.
What one player should be the main target in the summer, each give a different player and argue your point.
Who do you think?
I think because of if we kept Pogba, I don't think like, we do need to strengthen the midfield, but I think if you kept the midfielders we have right now and you had them fit, I don't think it's that bad. Okay. I still think we need an extra forward. I think we need Jadon Sancho. That would be my number. I think we go right wing straight away.
I think Grealish.
You think Grealish? You think in a midfielder and you need a 10 straight away?
Yeah, I think the midfield is already it's thin. Even with Fernandes, it's thin.
Yeah.
And we need someone else.
I just think McTominay, Fred, Pogba, Fernandes.
Actually, if we're keeping Pogba, then I'd go.
That's the thing is that.
Let's say we'll keep Pogba. That I'm going to go in Didi then.
Yeah.
I think he's the one we need the most. Yeah.
Okay.
Someone
who can
just play and sit back.
Well,
and
we're going to try and wrap through this because we'll go try and get through loads of questions.
Yeah.
Enough of this one. Regarding our lack of coaching around passing and moving, why are we so shit at it? Why haven't we improved that since the right? I don't think we are bad at it.
And I think the term passing and moving is very vague.
Very vague.
Because
I think
is that counter-attacking? Is that like the tiki-taka? What counts as pass and
I
move?
I think the reason we've been so bad, why we haven't improved since Sir Alex Ferguson left, is that you've changed philosophies each time. So you've gone to Moyes, who tried to do things relatively similar, but then with an aging squad that wasn't good enough, and he didn't get the players in to replace it. Then you had Van Gaal come in, who was very possession-based, slow build-up.
Good at passing, not so good at moving.
Yeah.
Same with Mourinho, really.
And then the Mourinho team, but it was then we're not too bothered about technical players. We want people that are big, strong. We're going to get the ball out wide more. We're going to put more crosses in. We're going to have a traditional number nine again. Yeah. That's where our goals are going to come from. And now we're going to something.
Yeah, and now we can move, but we can't pass. So under Van Gaal, all pass, no movement. Now all movement, no passing. Yeah. So I think, like you said, it's a mixture of changing styles and a slowly sort of decreasing quality of team.
Are there any forwards in the under-8 teams that can make a step up to the first team next year, in your opinion? I watched, that's the first game I've been to. So I can't really judge it off one game. But from what I've seen, physicality-wise and things like that, I don't think they're quite ready. I don't think there's anyone that stands out. The one player that does stand out last night, Ted and Mengi, is like so much better than everyone else.
Was he?
Like,
I didn't go to the game.
So much better than everyone that was on that pitch by a long way.
It's like, centre-back as well. It's hard to stand out like that, isn't it?
He stepped out of defence. You know, Harry Maguire does it once or twice and looks good when he does that. He did that five or six times in the game. Got himself a shot off. A couple of times where he just got himself in the right position and nullified what Leeds were doing. And then all little things like there was a corner came in and he's in their box and his touch was just bang on. And you're just like...
Yeah,
he could do
cool,
a bit of everything.
Yeah.
And also, he's also massive as well. He also looks older than what he is as well, so it makes a...
And the thing with centre-backs is it's one of them where don't be surprised to see him go on loan for like 2-3 years, because how often do centre-backs come through at 18, 19, 20? The earliest you really ever see centre-backs is 23, 24,
and in the Premier League, no, as well, because like, even though
it's
he's...
very difficult.
Because he's bigger than most of the players now, stronger than most of the players now. But going into the Premier League, he's not as strong as he's not a Harry Maguire build yet.
Yeah,
he's still
and he's
17.
Not as strong as Charlie Austin or
no, exactly those kind of players. Wood
Andy
from
Carroll.
Those kind of players.
Yeah, but yeah, that's in terms of strikers. There hasn't been quite. I mean, the one is Greenwood. That's the
Greenwood
thing.
Greenwood could have played. He could have played last night, which is crazy.
Yeah, so he's so good that he's already in the reserves.
Do you think Martial is struggling at the moment without Rashford because there is no other threat going forward, so they just mark him, or is it just poor performance? I think it's a bit of everything.
The answer is, and to every question with football, it's always a bit of everything. Mm. It's always confidence, form, Sometimes there's things going off the pitch. French, like anything you can imagine, it's always a bit of all of it. Because, like, do you know sometimes you go to work one day, you might like your job, you go to work and you just think, I just can't be arsed today.
Yeah, there's all sorts.
So there's going to be a little bit of that. And you think, well, he earns 200 grand a week. Yeah, but when you're used to earning 200 grand a week,
it's not
you
like,
don't feel quite so, oh my God, I earn 200 grand a week.
Where did all this money come from?
You actually then think, well, his house down the road is worth 15 million and mine's only worth 8.5. Like, that's what you start thinking. So I think that it's probably a mixture of maybe he's a bit sick of losing games. Maybe he thinks Rashford isn't playing, I'm not going to play as well, and then doesn't play as well. Maybe his form's not there. Maybe he doesn't quite fit the system at the moment. It's always a bit of everything. But
I think there's a lot of it is just luck all around. I know it sounds crazy that you can base things on luck, but that one goal that you get when you shouldn't have got it makes a big difference. And you know that. If we'd have scored that, if that layoff he'd have done to Wan-Mata, if he hadn't taken off Wan-Mata's toes and it'd been a good layoff when he'd scored, it makes a massive difference.
Yeah, exactly. It's always a lot of things, and it's just to your points there, it's probably a bit of both.
Yeah. All-time favourite pizza toppings?
All-time favourite. Pepperoni and jalapeno for me.
Pepperoni. I'm trying, like a spicy mince kind of the sausage
like spicy beef. It's usually called, isn't it?
And do you know what sounds crazy? Underrated. An onion on onions on pizza make a big difference to a pizza.
Big shout out as well to mushroom and garlic butter.
Garlic butter. On hate a pizza. Mushrooms, but garlic Wonderful. Butter, fantastic.
Yeah, onion is always great on a pizza.
Yeah. Next transfer window four signs. But
we sort of did that before, that didn't one. We?
If you had full control over the kits home and away next year, what would you do?
I would probably make two awful kits because I'm not a kit designer. I'd try my best, though. I'd try my bloody best.
I'd go back to the retro stuff.
No, I wouldn't.
So I'd go for... Can they see the canter
now? I know what I'd do.
I'd get a collar.
A collar.
I'd have a black, red and white collar.
This is that collar as well, if you remember the material of it, it had that kind of like... Almost fibrous kind of and it's, elastic
yeah,
to it, didn't it?
It's not a soft thing. No, this needs to be able to flick up.
Yeah, it's cardboard. A wooden collar on it.
The away kit... would be like all black with like maybe like some red. Like Matt Rashford talked about the one in his thing with Gigs of the Week about the one with the red stripe. I think I'd go back to something along.
Yeah, just a big kind of red stripe.
Big kind of red stripe.
I love it. Exactly. I wouldn't go retro. I'd go futuristic as hell. The away shirt all silver, like reflective. I want to look like spacemen landing on Mars in the year 2050. Yeah. The home kit. Cranberry juice,
you know what I think?
Poured onto the players before every game.
I'm surprised the Glazers haven't done just the mess thing.
Are you allowed 100% edible kit? Because here's my idea. Hear me out, folks. Kits used to come out every 2 years. I don't know if you remember that. Then they went to every year. How about a new kit every week? This kit is made out of gelatin. So you buy the kit for your child, then the wasps eat the kit off the child, then you have to buy them a new kit every week, a perishable kit. That's how you make the money, 60 quid a week, not 60 quid a season, perishable kits.
Yep, going back to YouTube quickly.
Sorry.
Who starts in goal next year? Who do you sell? Thank you, Yomi, for the...
That is a tough one, and I'm not even sure what I think. Do you know what I mean?
I'm exactly the same because...
It's so hard,
De Gea still has the things where you go... Yeah, he's still the best keeper in the world. He makes saves like he did against Wolves, and you go,
"Yeah,
no one else would do that."
No,
but then you kind of think, if next year, if it means that we can get Dean Henderson, if Dean Henderson comes back, and is then our goalkeeper for the next 10 years again, which it could be,
yeah,
and we do it now, and everything's good, and we can cash in under Hay, we can do all those things, then you just do it. But I don't think, I think they've messed up with De Gea's contract. I think it's timing's all wrong with it, with them both. And I think they're going to have to keep De Gea. I think they're going to have to sell Dean Henderson. But I think that might... If it could have been De Gea's contract ran out or was coming to 18 months left, as in next year, after next season, Henderson had another loan or could do another year.
One more year.
Things worked out well. Mm. You get 30 million for De Gea. Henderson comes back. That would have been perfect. But I think...
It's really hard because...
I think one of them... I think we're going to lose Dean Henderson. I think he's going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree, actually. Because also, two things. One with Henderson is they've got a very good defence. And he is made to look I wouldn't say better than he is, but as good as he can be because this incredible defensive front of him. Well. The most clean sheets this season. And clean sheets are down to the goalkeeper. You know, if a goalie makes a mistake, you don't get a clean sheet, simple as that. Yeah. But clean sheets really are down to the defence in the midfield. You look at when United got the clean sheet, what was it, 13 in a row we got in 2009?
Yeah.
Or 2011. It was the best Premier League defence of all time is what got us those clean sheets. Van der Sar is a brilliant world-class goalkeeper, but once it's one-on-one with a goalie, there's only so much a goalkeeper can do. And I think in this current United team, Dean Henderson wouldn't look as good as he does at Sheffield United. But also, here's the second point, how much would people love rubbing in how good Henderson is for someone else if we sold him?
He would in the same, but it's also going to be the same way if we sold De Gea next year. Yeah. Henderson drops a clanger in the first week, and De Gea is gone to PSG, and they win the Champions League.
Yeah, it's lose-lose like, almost. People always say it's a good problem to have having loads of good players, but in goalkeeping, sometimes it's not. The best problem to have with a goalkeeper is one goalkeeper that's world-class, another goalkeeper that's an excellent backup that's happy, and just leave it. But
the problem is right now is looking into the future. It's what do you do?
Yeah, I don't
know. Do you think if we have a fully fit squad that Fred will be dropped? I would hope not. It's a strange one with Fred because he's been the one that's filled in for everyone and done really well. It now gets to the point where you go, well, do you know what? I think McTominay does things a lot better than him. Mm. Pogba and Fernandes definitely do things better than him.
Yeah,
is he the one that fits in that system?
I think not. I like Fred, and I think he's been better than we all thought it would be, having seen him last season when, let's face it, he was poor.
Yeah.
He gave away too many goals, too many chances. I think... I don't know, it's hard, because I don't want to criticise him, because I do think he's been very good. But I think when you look at his game as a whole, he's not particularly great at tackling. His interceptions are okay, but his overall defensive positioning in transition
isn't
great. His passing's not very good. He never scores any goals. And he's not physical enough. I think our best team, if on current form, and like, I think Matic at six, because I think he's our best defensive midfielder till the end of the season. I think he's getting on, and he needs replacing. But I think he's the most suited to play the lone.
And if we're playing, CDM. If we are playing at three,
I think our best midfield is Matic on current form, and not Matic from earlier in the season. Obviously, Matic on current form, Pogba, Fernandes. I think is our best midfield.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think it's going to be McTominay, Fernandes and Pogba. I think that Matic means that. But I think what we want to get is into the situation where Liverpool are, where you say things like, has Keita been dropped for them, or is he just a very good squad player now that comes in a lot of the time?
Yeah.
Is Bernardo Silva dropped every second week? No, he just doesn't play every single game. He'll play the game that suits him better.
Yeah.
And when we're playing three games in a week, when it's going to happen, we can play three different midfields that all does pretty well.
Yeah.
Instead of it being at this point now, you say, as soon as he doesn't play, we're a bit shit.
Mm.
We're at the point where, well, we've got six midfielders in there. You've got Grealish that goes in there. You've got Pogba that goes in there. You look at what City do, where they can play Rodri, David Silva, Bernardo Silva. Then they can not have any of them. Then they can have De Bruyne. Then they can have Fernandinho steps into there. Then they've got Foden
Gundogan
that plays
as
in
well.
There. You know, the reason Foden gets, Foden is still a very good squad player and still plays in those cup games and stuff. And you go, he can go in there.
Yeah.
United don't have that depth. United couldn't drop a player like Phil Foden. That's the thing now.
And when I say that, I don't think necessarily Fred is one of our best three midfielders. I think just for the system, I would like to see us play and. He would still get 35 appearances a season. It's not like he's never going to play. I don't think, and I don't dislike him at all. I just think, in the formation I would like to play, I think we have someone better in each position.
I think that's the whole point. I think we need to get away from having a very good starting 11 and no squad to being having an 18 that can play. You can put various formations out, does similar roles every time, and looks good. That's what you want to have. Mm-hmm. Do you think our backroom staff needs improvement? Are we being sentimental with Phelan and Carrick? We will never really know.
No.
I think is the first thing, unless because you don't know about Carrick.
Phelan, I think people because they look at him and he's like seems like a sort of nice chap you see in the paper shop in the morning. People think he's shit, or people I think are quick to, oh, he's just a, you know, nice working class bloke who's a bit, you know, not that smart. Like, he has this weird reputation of, he was Sir Alex Ferguson's assistant
and when, ran every
during our best ever period.
And ran every single training session.
Yeah, like, Mike Phelan doesn't need to defend his CV.
No.
By any, he's got one of the best CVs of any assistant manager ever.
And there's a reason.
I don't think there should be any doubts about Mike Phelan.
And I think as well, looking at just like McKenna
he seems
and things,
a northern bloke who's like, a bit. Yeah, go on.
Looking at McKenna and, you know, even Carrick, because they got brought in by Mourinho. It wasn't Ollie that brought them in.
No.
Mourinho went, I want them to be working around me.
Yeah.
And they're going to do this. You know, he could have just chosen anyone.
Mm.
He could have, you know, the lad he had that worked with him for a long time has left.
Rui Faria.
Yeah. But also, he's gone to Spurs now. He's not brought someone from Spurs' lot up. He's brought a new guy in that he's picked out and said, so you're not telling me he hadn't been looking at that guy in the past.
Yeah.
He's gone, no, Carrick and McKenna can do the job.
Yeah, like you said, and you kind of never know because...
You never know
how
until...
How do you know exactly what they... We won't see 100% of the footage of what they do every training session. And even if you did, and there's some things you disagreed with and didn't like, you don't actually know the exact effect that every word they had on every game.
No, because
there's too many moving parts to all
this. You look at Jurgen Klopp's right-hand man, and I think now that they're starting to do well and they started doing a bit more coverage of Liverpool, everyone's going, he's really good at this and he does this. And you see, now they're showing him with his clipboard every week and things like that, and you're going, he works really well. But when Liverpool weren't winning things, it was... Is Klopp doing the right things?
Yeah. How much, by the way, do people love, like, spotting the underdog? Like, here's something for you. It's actually the background staff that do all the work.
Yeah, Fergie
people
doesn't do anything.
Oh, George Harrison was actually the best Beatle. Like, yeah, he was cool and that, but, like, Paul and John Lennon wrote all the songs, and that's kind of the thing with managers. Like, people love spotting the, like, actually, you think it's Klopp, but it's actually, here's the real genius behind Liverpool. Yeah. Come off it.
Exactly. The throwing coach.
Yeah, it's the throwing coach that did it.
Should go that one? Is Angel Gomez going to be the next Revel Morrison child prodigy? Will he leave the club? Can he or won't he make it at the top?
I think there's a couple of bits there. First of all, Angel Gomez was never rated as highly as Revel Morrison. Revel Morrison was considered one of the best talents since Paul Gascoigne or since Wayne Rooney when he came through. And he hasn't had the tribulations and controversy off the pitch that Revel Morrison has had.
And
if you're just looking at the sense that he looked like he could have played for United and might not, then there's a fair comparison.
Yeah.
But Revel Morrison was considered to be as good as or better than Paul Pogba when they were both 16, 17.
And Revel Morrison, from what people have said, Angel Gomez is, you know, there's things about him not signing his contract and all that, and there's things about that, and whether he is quite, whether there's like physicality-wise whether he's good enough, whether he's, you know, all his contract talk, whether that's affecting him and stuff. Revel Morrison was apparently just a dickhead.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a difference about that.
Crowd,
and winning with the wrong crowd, that's just, not... Angel not, Gomez not isn't like comparison. That, so that's not quite right.
Yeah. But if you look at, will he leave the club, can he or won't he make it to the top?
I think technical-wise, potentially, there might be... You don't know how the physicality is going to develop. He's not going to get much taller, I'm not saying that. But whether he can get to that next level of being good enough, his fitness-wise, so that... He can be the size he is and be very good. And you'll never, you don't know. I think he could move on, he could stay. I think
it's still sort of 50-50 as to whether he will stay. And also, I know he's very young and all that, but he hasn't sort of pulled up trees the way that Revel Morrison did.
He's looked good in a lot of games.
He's looked very good, but yeah, it's not quite the same.
Same guy. Was Yanezai better than Chong? I don't know.
I've seen more from Yanezai than I've seen from Chong.
I think he was, and I think Yanezai was more the reason he didn't do well was more the fact that of the change in the managers at the right time, you know, and also the how he got brought into the team. You know, he got brought into the team under Moyes and was seen as the next big thing that was going to be the saviour of that season.
Shirt.
Van Gaal kind of kept him in there and did things like that, but then made him step back a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I think Mourinho just said, no, you're not for me, mate.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
I think he'd have been okay. I think he'd have been a good player. I think if the right manager had stuck around and kept him playing, I think there was too much hype around too early.
Yeah.
He probably should have just been told, look, leave it for a bit, let him do what he's doing and see from there. Nicky Butser the other week, he was the one that stood out for him.
yeah,
like technical wise was unbelievable.
And there's always just that, like there's players at 15, 16 look one thing, and then 2 years later and a bit of experience later, that it just doesn't evolve, and it you think, oh, why doesn't that translate to the first team? Why? Sometimes it just
and
doesn't.
I think jumping on, like combining the Angel Gomez and all this, I think a lot of it is that some players fast track the way to the top due to physical attributes and a bit of mentality. You know, there's a lot of players that I think Chong's one of them where he was a lot quicker than everyone else. He's a lot taller than everyone else, and he has the mentality he can still score a goal. I don't think it phases him getting there, so I think that's what kind of got him there, whereas Yanezai and Gomez kind of got there because they were technically a lot better,
yeah,
and maybe physicality wise they weren't quite there yet. You know, so there's all these different matter things, and that it does take them until they get to 22, 23. Same as, you know, Rashford was very fast, was very technical, had the mentality, but he was never strong enough at that. There was
and
18,
the reason he got
19
thrown in is because of injuries, isn't it?
Yeah, you get thrown in there.
Yeah.
And for us, to be fair to Mourinho, you know, putting him out wide and kind of managing what he had to do for a couple of seasons probably helped him in terms of where he's at now.
Yeah.
So he wasn't just, because Yanezai was, imagine when he came in, it was, you're now the best player we've got.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of what it was. And there was just no rest for him, and then it kind of sloped off very quickly.
Yeah. What we got next?
What do you think the lineup would be, Chelsea, and what would you like the lineup to be?
I don't think McTominay, Pogba, or Rashford will be.
I don't think it'd be too different.
I think
from
there has
the
been
Wolves
a,
game
a bit of a sort of groundswell of support for seeing Ighalo start up front and Martial on the left, but I think generally, Ighalo's coming from China, fitness-wise, I don't think he'll quite be there. I doubt he'll start.
You don't know. You honestly don't know. I think
it depends on what it looks like in training.
The good news with all this is that we've got that little pre-season, the mid-season break thing that they've got going on. Mm. So they're going to be able to do shape. They're going to have a look at his fitness a lot better than they would do if he had come in and he had to make a decision after 3 days.
Yeah.
He's going to have a week of full training in warm weather. They're going to be able to do all the shape work and all that. So potentially he could start. I mean, the thing with Chelsea is that they're going to have a lot of the ball, and I think the counter-attacking setup is going to be just as good for this team. And I think, you know, Ollie's got it right against them twice so far this season. Now, different, we've not got Rashford.
No, but hopefully we'll see a slightly rejuvenated Dan James, a slightly rejuvenated... I mean, even Mason Greenwood's played, I think, over 30 appearances this season. Like, people act like he's, you want to see him play more because it's exciting, but I'm sure he's tired.
Yeah.
And I'm certain that Dan James is tired. That's plain to see. And probably even Martial as well, who's come back from that injury and played basically every game since. I'm sure that this rest will do a lot of the power of good.
Do you think Martial just isn't as hungry for goals as others?
No.
My take on it is that he's not, his attributes is not diving in front of a centre-back and nicking a goal. I think his attributes and what's got him to where he's got was picking up the ball deeper, driving at players, beating a player, and also being very good at finishing finishing. You know, that's where he's good at. I think that what he needs to do is he needs to develop that. If he wants to be a nine, if he wants to be in that system, if he's going to have the players around him that he's got, he's going to have to add that to his game.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to change overnight and be good at heading the ball, but there's certain things are going to change, and if the players around him are the players around him that we've got right now, he may have to change what he's doing.
And you look at, when you say he just isn't as hungry as for goals as others, I think, like you said, I think it's more just a case of this is what he's like this, these are his characteristics, these are his attributes. Like, you play five aside with just some lads, you know, who you go to school with.
Yeah.
And everyone is dying to score. People are very... Everyone that's ever made it to be a professional footballer is insanely competitive. Because if you aren't, you just won't make it, no matter how much talent you have. So he is as competitive and as keen to score goals as anyone in the world. But like you said, his attributes and his skill set and his mind just doesn't necessarily work in the same way that, you know, Radamel Falcao's did in his prime, where he would literally dive in front of people's feet to head the ball in. That's not how he plays, but he's no less keen or less hungry for goals than anyone else. He's desperate to score in every single game, absolutely.
How bad do you think you all think the Euros will affect our transfer window? I can see it being a ready-made excuse for plant pots running our club.
Does he mean Euros as in the tournament? Or
the Euros.
The currency after Brexit. Because I think in both senses, it's going to put some strain on us.
Yeah, I think you know, the Euros can do, will do one. What should happen is they've got the targets and we get them done before the Euros start.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. The transfer window is open transfer for another like month.
Yeah, so that 3 weeks, that should be the other thing. And the other thing is that the Euros still shouldn't affect who you sign. You know, there's always that spike of players that are going to get, you know, if Sancho, for example, scores, is the Golden Boot winner or the top man at the Euros, he's going to be worth more than everyone than he would have been before the Euros.
Yeah.
But that for United shouldn't change whether we buy him or not.
No.
If it's 100 million or 120 million, you if still just buy him. You've got to get him.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't do. But you're right. Yeah. I do see there will be excuses. It will get brought up. There will be things like that.
And one of the problems with it is that people come back from injury from the Euros and stuff almost every time with a bit of extra injury. They get some time off. They get extra time off. You come in and
you
see
go to your pre-season tour. And
you
all
see transfers come in and often flop after big tournaments because they haven't had a full pre-season with their new team. And also, you're going to see so many headlines. And this happens every time. This isn't some inside scoop. This just happens every time. Of United will sign but not until after the Euros. And then it's literally just a way for people to drag on transfer sagas so that it, you know,
or even players
we're going to sign this guy, but, you know, not till after the Euros.
Or even players that United aren't linked with. It's good. It's a good one to have because they know that it's not going to happen whilst the Euros are going on. So United are going to sign him once the Euros are done. But they know that another club's not going to come in and just take him because no transfer business is going to get done. So. Yeah.
Should we have a couple more questions?
Is Ollie, if Ollie's still the manager next season, do you think we've done that one? Maybe change his coaching staff? I don't think he will.
Yeah.
He may bring in someone different. You don't know what Mike Phelan's doing because it seems like he's doing less.
Yeah,
actually,
that is one thing.
He's not
Mike
there.
Feeling,
he might bring someone
as
else
it seems
in.
Like, does it?
But there's more. It's more than likely that Carrick and McKenna will start doing more things.
Yeah.
And probably he'll probably bring people in that no one will know.
Mm.
You know, probably bring a fitness coach in that no one even knows about, and that kind of changes things.
Refresh it, maybe.
I can.
If you go back on the tweet,
do this.
We should answer a couple from YouTube to finish it off.
Yeah, we'll go to YouTube now to finish.
To get questions in on YouTube. Marshall is, well, I'll read it anyway. Marshall is overrated. It's a joke. Most disinterested lazy strike we've had in years. If he had seasons like he has at Liverpool or City, he would be likened to Sturridge and Welbeck. I think if he played for Liverpool or City, he would get probably 20, 25 goals a season. Look how many chances Raheem Sterling's missed against United.
Yeah.
Look how many chances Raheem Sterling misses just generally.
Yeah.
Because they make so many chances, he's been getting 25 goals a season for the last couple of years. Like, and his work rate's better than Martial's and he's more aggressive defensively. But I think Martial doesn't fit our system. He'd look brilliant at Dortmund. Like, the amount of times we've seen Haaland just playing off that back line of defences and stuff already at Dortmund.
Yeah.
Like, if Haaland was playing... If Martial was playing in a team like that, he'd look brilliant. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's
will
right
Dean Henderson be the England number of the Euros? I think he will be.
Do you? I don't.
Better than Pickford.
Yeah,
like,
but...
a lot better than Pickford.
He's better than Pickford. I think it's between him and Pope. I think Pope's good.
I think he's better. I think Henderson's better.
Yeah, we'll have to see. There's not many. The problem is there's not many more.
Sorry, guys, for doing. We've decided to do this on Twitter, so if you have important questions in before, we've been focusing on the Twitter questions.
Yeah, we did. We asked on Twitter about it. If you don't follow us on Twitter, go and follow us over there as well. Yeah. @Stretford, PAD.
We might do an Instagram one soon as well, just to mix things up a bit.
Yes.
For the questions to see what we do.
What? Read that.
Joe and Alex, can we get
in? You're in there before the other day.
Tyrannosaurus. Great name,
I'm sure we answered this question.
Can we get an in-depth analysis behind side running like a horse on what makes Rashford better than Martial?
Okay, here's the answer. And we're not going to go over this again. We don't think that Rashford is necessarily way better than Martial.
No.
But we're saying there are a few factors that make him... he certainly had a better season. He scored way more goals than Martial.
Yeah.
He's been way more threatening. He scored those goals in big games against big teams in ways that Martial just hasn't. He's also, like we said, there's nothing wrong with the fact that he's from Manchester. He's come up through the youth system, so you have a longer history with him. Like, when you've got a mate who you've known for 15 years, and then you've got another mate you've known for 2 years, and you're like, well, he's a better mate to you than he is. You should not, but I've known this one for 15 years. It's going to make me like him a bit more. Rashford's been around since he was a kid at United. He's a United fan, he's from Manchester, and he's clearly, numbers-wise, and if like I said, even look at the people he scored against, having a better season than Martial. There you go, that's the answer.
Martial has literally scored against...
He's not scored as many, though, has he? Rashford has also scored against every big team and scored more goals than Martial has. Anyway, that's the answer.
Shall we do a video?
What?
Martial Rashford.
Martial versus Rashford.
We'll have a think.
I don't want to, because I like them both.
I like them both. We don't want to be comparing our two players, because I want them both in the teams. I want them both.
You think Martial has scored more goals this season than Rashford? That's not an opinion you can have. Anyway.
Okay.
Sorry. And also, if you look at the improvement of the two players in terms of their numbers over their career, I think we're seeing a bigger improvement from Rashford this season than we've ever seen from Martial since he signed. Martial's best season is still his first ever season at United. And that kind of trajectory of a career doesn't necessarily bode well in terms of... You can see why people might prefer Rashford, surely.
Yeah, he's a couple of years... Like Rashford's 2 years younger as well. Rashford came into the team at... When he brought in that season, the same season as Martial,
City and Arsenal,
he was 18. He was 17, just turned 18.
Yeah.
Martial had been playing at Monaco for a couple of for a season. Yeah. He was more of a, I'm not saying he's so much older, but 20. You know, he'd been in first team football. Rashford hadn't been any first team football up until that point.
And it's not, you know, it's not one versus the other.
But I want them both to be playing well. I want them both in the team.
But there's your answer. And we shouldn't have to say it every week. No, and we don't hate Martial and love Rashford. We like them both, but we think Rashford's having a better season. He's probably a better player overall.
Do you think we should sign up more of those on pro contracts and sell them instead of just letting them leave for nothing?
What's that? Say that a bit louder.
Do you think we should sign up more of our academy products on pro contracts and sell them instead of just letting them leave for nothing? It's a strange... It's a strange one with our academy and stuff like that, because it's if you start doing things like that, you start going around the Chelsea route of having 40 players out on loan every season, which is a scary thing to have. And you also have, there's also been a lot of liability for the club in terms of like contracts where, you know, if that club decides to send him back, we got to pay their wages and stuff like that. You know, we have wages to, that means the wage bill is higher and things like that. Whether it's not a lot and stuff, but if it means if we have 10 academy products on like five, 10 grand a week.
Yeah.
That's one big name player or two players we can't bring in, you know. So there's all sorts of things.
And if you look as well, like, we're not football, you know, financial experts here. Like, you look at the way United have brought players through from the academy, and you know how many players have left United's academy that you really go, oh shit, we should have kept them. Pogba, Pique, any others? Like, we don't usually get it too far wrong, do we?
No.
So I think the current structure where if someone comes into the first team, they get that contract, proper contract that you see people like Gomez signed, people like Greenwood signed, then that's kind of, I think we're doing it the right way
Talking
as we are.
Talking about Garner and Dylan Levert, we had a chat about this with Dave on the podcast on Tuesday. I said, you know, there's obviously been a problem in midfield this year. Why haven't they made it? And I think there's a lot of things about, I think, physicality-wise and all that. I think people look at him and go, well, he must be fit enough because he's a footballer and things like that. And Pereira can't be 10 times fitter than them. But I think you'd be astounded by like, the differences in a 23-year-old and an 18-year-old in terms of what they can do for 90 minutes, just in terms of running, in terms of tackling for 90 minutes. I think... all those different things is such a huge difference.
Also, the under 18s and 23s have just had about a month off. Like, the fitness levels just aren't where they would be for Premier League players. They've had a winter break over Christmas, and you know it's just the levels are so different. And like I said, the fitness levels are so different.
Same with Ethan Laird. They're mentioning him about whether he can challenge Wan-Bissaka. Definitely, but again, there's. Like Wan-Bissaka, whilst they're probably similar ages, but Wan-Bissaka did those years at Crystal Palace and broke into the first team. That's why a lot of these players don't just go from the academy to United. And you get more players going to a smaller club first, is because they get the chance at a higher level. Yeah. They train at that higher level, not in terms of technical wise, but they train at that more intensity for a bit, because the under 23s isn't as.
Yeah, you'll notice that most of the players that come through from the academy to the first team United are attackers. Like Brandon Williams is an exception to that, but he's been nursed in very, very slowly and carefully. But generally, if coming from an under-18s and under-23s squad straight without any loans into a midfield of a Premier League team is almost impossible. It's so difficult. Yeah. Same with centre-backs. Same usually with full-backs as well, but obviously, like I said, Brandon's a bit of an exception to that. But usually it's strikers and wingers that you see go straight from there to there because, one, goal scoring tends to translate a bit better as well. The positioning and the intensity isn't quite the same. And also, it's not quite as physically demanding, is it?
Do you reckon Fosu Mensa will shock everyone and become United's best defenseman? I don't think he'll be the best. I see what you just seen.
I know. It's just funny. I don't understand it. I don't want to argue.
It's a strange
all the time.
One. No, I don't want to argue.
Yeah.
I don't know about Fosu Mensa because the thing is, he's gone to two clubs on loan, and yes, he got played at right back in both of them. But
yeah,
you know, you would see something. You would see something in him and go, wow, he's, you know, he's much better there. He's done that. I've not seen him stand out in those games. I think there's been talk of, like, they did the interview with Leroy Sané for City, who said that Fosu Mensa was one of the defensive fullbacks he played against and thought he was very good, hardest to get past and things like that. So maybe, but
we did kind of see Wan-Bissaka push him out a little bit as well, didn't we?
I don't know. I don't think he'll be. I think it'd be a great option to have him come back in. I think it'd be great, another one in that midfield to fill in. But I don't think he.
And let's end it on the question that we get a lot, but I don't mind saying it again. Would you prefer Grealish or Maddison?
I'd have said Maddison at the start of the year. I've changed. I want Grealish.
Yeah, me too. He's got like an X factor to him, hasn't he? Yeah. His hair's all slicked back.
I didn't think Grealish would. You know, when he didn't get that move to Tottenham, I thought there's a reason behind that.
Yeah.
I think he's as good as everyone thinks he is.
Yeah.
He's come to the Premier League. He's been 10 times better.
Yeah, and also, lovely year-round tan on Jack Grealish as well, which I know you shouldn't be buying players for
he's
their
tan.
He's
also on holiday right now with Jane Madison, which I think is funny.
It is good. For me, it'd be Grealish, but I'm very happy with Madison. We saw a stat up on Sky Sports News earlier. On this little side, they have this rolling stats in the Premier League, and as chances created, I think it's Madison 64, Grealish 63. So they're sort of almost been put in a category where they're sort of the same player, aren't they? I know they're not, but they're like so just sort of readily interchanged that you would think that they were the same person with a different skin. And they only have a character in a fighting game, and you both want to be the same one, so I have to be like the yellow one, and then you're the blue one, like that. It's like Grealish and Madison. Grealish is like disco Madison, isn't he? Cool hair, low socks, good player.
Yeah, I think we also need like more leaders. We need more captains. Mm-hmm. We need people that have come in from, you know, the best teams that do everything. You kind of say, he could be captain. I think that's sadly the case with Liverpool right now. I think they've got three or four players that you could give the captain's armband to, and you go, that makes sense.
Yes.
United don't have that right now. I think they're giving it Maguire, and even that doesn't quite make sense.
Yeah.
I think having players like Bruno Fernandes come in, I think even like how Rashford stepped up in terms of mentality and just his persona around things. I'm saying, and this isn't a comparison to Martial before you get going. You know, just how he's is in the media and all those things. I think he kind of looks like one of those players now. But if you got someone like Grealish coming in, he's another one that you go, you know what, he's captain Villa.
Yeah.
He's going to come in. He's going to demand more from everyone. And
it seems to have good mentality as well.
Yeah.
Right, that's going to be it for this video. If you could give the video a like, that would be very much appreciated.
Yep.
Also, thank you for joining us. We're going to be doing more Q&A soon. Obviously, we've got no matches for 2 weeks, so it's good to get that kind of interaction and
have a
chat
with what's going on. Let's throw on Instagram next week.
Yeah, we'll do one on Instagram.
We'll do on Instagram, so we'll put the questions in there. So
it's
the same everywhere. Yeah. Chef of Paddock on Instagram.
Chef of Paddock everywhere. Follow us, like us, everything like that. Also, at JoeSmith93 on Twitter and at Baggers_Alex on Twitter as well, if you want to give us a follow. Also, we love Martial and we love Rashford. And that's going to be the end of it.
See you later.